We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Equalization. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer absent. Approve or disapprove the agenda as presented?
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn. Setzer is here. Moved by Dorn.
Second. Morning.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion? Vote. 7-0. Sorry,
no,
Kathy.
Six.
You'll find out when the clock says 8:30. I started.
I need to synchronize my watch.
6-0. Oh, yeah. Let's switch Matt over. Bauman is absent. Will be absent all day. Approve or disapprove minutes of previous meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Just clarification, we have to speak to keep it on the record. So that's something I have a bad habit of doing the same thing. So moved by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 6-0. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items? Approve or disapprove tax correction slips 2 through 4. Patty, you want to background them a little bit?
Yeah, the number 2 and 3 is that Whitney Hopkins, that house that burnt, and he finally took it completely down. So we've taken that off the tax rolls. That was located in Blue Springs. Then correction number 4 is a homestead correction from the state. I explained last time that they can go up to 3 years, and after they've checked income tax records and so forth, they can come back and make a different opinion. Yeah, Don, sign those, please. So that's what those are. The Hopkins home burnt quite a while ago, but it wasn't completely down. Now it is, so we've taken it off the tax rolls. And that's located in Blue Springs. So.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. I thought we had.
I don't have anything on the corrections.
I would move that we approve the tax correction slips.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 6-0. Patty, what else? And then I'll sign these and then we'll go through the rest.
Basically, we've sent personal property schedules out now, and that's a schedule that is all filled out for the farmer, businessmen, and whatever. So they need to just go through, mark out what they no longer have, and also add on what they've purchased. So those will be due by May 1st. We just got our homestead exemptions in for the elderly and the disabled, so we'll be mailing those out in February. Those are due back June 30th. That's basically, plus we're looking at our new values for 2011. I don't know if I brought this up last week. A few small towns look like they're a little bit over, so we have to do some adjustments in some small towns. Agland Area 1 appears like that's going to need to take a hit again of about 10 to 15% possibly. Area 2, we
want to define the areas for those.
Yeah, Area 2 is Liberty, Island Grove, and Sherman. That's Area 2. That's down there by the Pawnee County. And then everything else is considered Area 1. So with the sales, we're still verifying, trying to get people to respond back to questionnaires and so forth to make sure that the property's being used for farm ground and nothing else. All the other assessors are kind of in the same boat from what we talked about. So Area 2 down by Pawnee County is one that has some sales and that we may borrow from Pawnee just to see, but that one is going to go up extensively too.
You want to explain the borrowing?
Yeah. They started to, from other counties, like if you don't have very many sales with only three townships, like we had 15 sales in that area. So we go over into Pawnee, just across the county line, and we look at sales to see if they're comparable to Gage County. So we have more of a basis to look at our values to see where we're at. You know, the more sales you have, the better idea you have of what's going to happen in the marketplace. So what I found is Pawnee is actually higher than Gage County. So, but I don't feel comfortable with putting Area 2 in Area 1. At one time, we talked about having one whole area. That definitely is a different soil, a different type of ground there in that area. but yet you go on south through Kansas, and then you get into better ground again. So we're doing some really in-depth studies on that, but that area looks like that's going to take a pretty hard hit, even harder than Area 1. And that's just preliminary right now. We try to dot all our I's and cross all our T's to make sure, but it's still pretty strong down there. So there is a bill in the legislature that I don't know if anybody's been watching that to move ag land down to, let's see, it's at 75 now, move it down to 70. That was discussed last week up at, the state and the legislature. And I guess the whole problem with that, you can move that percentage to as low as you want to go, but what happens is you lower the percentage, you up the tax rate. A lot of times, it's not that I'm not for it or against it, it's just that maybe there needs just to be a whole different idea behind some of these things, as far as taxation, and I don't know what that answer is. We had met with some state senators early on last year, and I think his name is Bill Lockhart. Is he the Revenue Committee? Do you remember the gentleman by the name of Locke, L-O-C-K?
Yeah.
Revenue Committee, where he was actually going into other states to see if there was some different ways of valuing, property tax in general.
Staffer. He's not a... Mm-hmm. Senator.
Yeah, he's not a senator, no.
Senator Cornett is chairman of the Revenue Committee.
Patty, if we have to borrow from Pawnee County, we do not have enough sales in that area
We do have enough sales. It's just we like to look at more sales to see if anything real drastic's taking place over in Pawnee. We don't have to borrow, but the revenue, Department of Revenue will look and see, because a lot of counties are faced with not enough sales, and especially in this time right now, you're not so much on the ag, but in other small towns, sometimes some counties don't have enough sales to really, that's how the market's somewhat determined.
Last year, I met with some guys in that end of the county, and they brought up a unique scenario that I brought it up then with Patty, but what's to say this group of 10 farmers that has adequate land that they can sell you an 80, you sell him the 80, he sells me the 80, and back the 80, back ends up with me, we have created our own market. We have generated our market to control the sales instead of everything at $3,000 an acre. This one went in at $2,000.
Yeah, there's some definite flaws in my opinion, but I guess nobody has come up with a good fix to the problem all across, with taxation. And I don't know, there again, we had a Turk case, over with Johnson County. There was one that he wasn't comparing. You have to compare same land types.
That's the guy that came here?
Yeah, he never did go to Turk.
He never did go?
He didn't show up. So that's Johnson County. But, I don't know. I just think that there, some way, someday, maybe will be a different method, but, I don't know what that answer is, and I think people are still working on it.
Methods of appraisal have been constant for years, and you've got sales, that's the number one. Number two, replacement cost if you're looking at buildings. And we don't. If you're at this commercial building, then you can look at rents and have that be the key as far as the value. And that's been the question that's come to the legislature for years. Can we develop a method where we take production, where we take the land and what it actually produces, and gauge value on that? But the problem, from a standpoint of how do you control that? How do you tell who's produced what? And it's Terry turns in that he's gotten 10 bushels of corn per acre, and Myron turns his in at 65. And how do you verify, and what kind of bookkeeping, the paperwork that would be involved to be able to monitor a production thing? I've even co-signed bills trying to get this something like this done, but to develop it is just so hard. And sales, if we go out there and we pay $4,000 an acre for farm ground, we don't want to pay the taxes, obviously, but we want the ground.
Well, and another thing I'm finding out in small towns, and especially with our town, the market's all over the place. you've got ranch-style houses selling for $20,000.
That staggers me. That really does.
And then you've got one just six blocks up the street or seven blocks that sells for $54,000. I mean, where do you really, at this time point in time, we still call those good sales. However, I mean, maybe that one won't be. We've got to do some research on that. But some of them are what they call distress sales. People lose their jobs. They have to sell. They're going to carry a mortgage with them because they just need to get out from underneath it, you know. And so does it mean that the property's really only worth 20? I don't know. You know, those are the things that we're facing, you know, with especially the
How long does it have to sit on the market before you really say it is worth that? Because some of those homes down there have been on the market a long time, and then they sell what they can get.
But, you know, I see wrecks,
too. Well, the sale is what keys it, not what it's marketed at.
I see older people that may be going into the nursing home. They may sell their home for $10,000. Someone comes in, fixes it up a little bit, and rents it for $350. To me, it's not worth $10,000 then. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You're right there.
So, it becomes very, very, and especially with this time, we're entering an economy where it's very difficult to know exactly, I mean, what's good sale, what's distress sale, what, you know. It's just a hard thing to try to get everything equalized when you have things selling all over the place. So it's a challenge, and we'll just have to work through it until the economy hopefully switches around and gets better, which I hope happens. So.
And I'm pretty shocked you look at the national comparisons on real estate and on baby boomers, and as they're moving into retirement, the huge number of people whose retirement is the equity in their home. And you see the reverse mortgage market is getting huge, or they're out there trying to sell it. So they've got enough money to try to supplement what they have in Social Security to retire. So, you know, it's a huge issue all the way across the board.
Yes. Terry.
Patty, tell me again, the two areas, what were going to be the increases? Is that tentative?
No, this is just preliminary. We're just looking at them right now. We try to verify with the questionnaire. And we try to make sure that what we've got down on our records is correct. One thing that we're having the trouble with that is really frustrating is we need permission from the taxpayer, or we need a signed release to get FSA records. So, you know, to me, two government agencies ought to be able to work together to be able to have everything correct in our office. But we need the signature from the farmer or from, you know, a release so that we can get information. And then what we do is we develop a ratio of what it sold for compared to what we've got it valued at. And that ratio right now has to be sitting between 69% to 75%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when you see a ratio at 55 or at 62 or, you know, then things become a problem because we're not in the right range. Right. And if I don't adjust it on the local level, and the Tax Equalization and Review Commission will look at all 93 counties and adjust it to the level of value that it should be. Most of my levels have been setting at about 71%. They could go clear to 75, you know, but I've stuck at about 71 on those. So,
do you see a point that our Equalization Committee should be coming together so you can sit us down and do a little more explanation?
Sure. Anytime.
Probably a good idea, the new members with Terry and Kathy, that we might all set to get a time that we can work together and see if we can sit down with the assessor and visit about process and where we're going in the future, I think would be a better. Are you guys okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
That is the one area that I can say the understanding, when we think we understand it, something's changed. And, you know, I've sat through them a long time now, and it's always, well, this is the way it is. Well, it's not that way now, you know, so you do need to stay on top of it.
And it's tough for the small farmer out there. You know, the big farmer that can continue to buy and keep producing and things, that, you know, that may not be as much of a stress as it is for the smaller time guy that's trying to make a living, you know, so. But
anything else on that?
So.
Okay, we need a motion to open a public hearing for the approval of the tax exemptions of the vehicles owned by the nonprofit organizations.
So I would move the public hearing be open.
Moved by Byers.
Second it.
Seconded by Dorn. Any discussion? Vote. 6-0. We need a sign-in sheet if anyone wants to speak on the public hearing. And, Don, you want to give a report on what these are?
Well, these are just your tax exemptions on the vehicles from the treasurer's office.
Okay, and this is standard. I mean, this is something we do. If there's no one here to speak for or against the tax exemptions, need a motion to close the public hearing.
I would move to close the hearing.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to close. Need a motion now to approve or disapprove St. Joseph Catholic Church, Goldcrest Retirement Center, Beatrice Community Hospital and Health Center, the Salvation Army, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Blue Valley Mental Health, Mosaic, St. John's Lutheran Church, Church of the Promise, Boy Scout Troop 221, American Red Cross, Wymore Good Sam Center, Beatrice Good Sam Center, Wymore Church of Christ, Beatrice Youth Center, and Bible Baptist Church.
I would move that the tax exemptions be approved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle, I'm sorry. Jergens. Discussion.
Rex, are these something that come in every year? They have to apply for them?
Yes. And these are through the treasurer's office. The treasurer approves them per statute that they have to follow.
Yeah,
you can look at them. There you go.
There are different vehicles that they have those entities use.
If she sees any question mark relative to whether they really truly should be exempt, then she pulls it with them and tells them no, but then they can still come to our board. We have to formally approve the exemptions. But if we have any questions about it, we see one in there that we think, hey, this is not being done appropriately, we can question that also and pull it. The Gary Lytle family taxi wouldn't be exempt.
Is that why they keep throwing that out?
Yeah. Is that side scene? Good. Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 to approve. Anything else, Patty?
Yeah. These are the vehicles. We also have the churches, parsonages, lots of things that they apply for exemption on the real estate side of it. I do have one that my recommendation is going to be to deny on a parsonage. And I call the department because this is a year of reaffirmation of the exemption. What it is every 4 years they have to file the exact exemption application, and then 3 years after that it's just to reaffirm that it's still being used for purposes other than, like you say, for exempt purposes. There is one parsonage that I am going to probably recommend that it be disallowed. The church, I'm going to say, is going to be okay. And what we'll need to probably do, since that has to be approved by the board, is to send the gentleman a notice and a time of a board date where he can come visit with us. And I don't believe that's an open meeting, so I don't believe it has to be. But I'm going to let him speak to you because you have the final say over me even as to whether with the parsonage, the minister, the deacon, the priest, someone needs to be living in that, in my opinion, and in all the statutes that I read. And if that's not taking place, then that parsonage becomes taxable. So I think what we'll do is probably send them a 10-day notice, maybe put it on a board meeting, and let the gentleman come to speak to you as a board.
Do you want to define green space for them, since you touched on that a little bit?
Green space? You mean like just if somebody buys a piece of property and it's just sitting idle, then we tax
it? One of the non-tax places?
For example, Mosaic over here where they built their new building, that was taxed for a few years because it was just a block that had sat empty. It wasn't being used for a public purpose, and it wasn't being used for Mosaic. I mean, their intent was to build on it someday, but at the point in time when it was just sitting idle, we did tax it. Now that it does have a building on it and is being used for, then it becomes exempt again. Uh-huh. So that was put into the law to try to stop some of the exemptions that kept occurring. You know, there was a lot of exemptions that were being handed out, so that was one of those things that they were just trying to stop some of the exemptions until it was actually being used for an exempt purpose.
Board equalization.
That's about.
Anything else?
Okay,
anything else for the good of the order for the Board of Equalization? We will adjourn the Board of Equalization.